All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. And I want to welcome all of the kids we have with us. We're having a family service. We do this two or three times a year where we have all the kids in here with us. And if you're sitting close to a kid, would you raise your hand? Let me just see where they all are. All right. Great, great, great. Let's welcome all the young people who are with us today here, man. We're glad to have you here. Good, good, good. We expect to have a little bit more wiggling in this service than usual, but that's okay. We're really, really, really glad you're here. I hope your Christmas was amazing. It was a pretty quiet Christmas at the Huxford House this year. Our kids are all having a great time with their in-laws right now, which honestly is an answer to my prayers. Like many of you, I started praying. Well, not because they're not with us, all right? But I mean, I'm just saying, I started praying for those boys' wives the day they were born. How many of y'all are doing that? You're praying for your kids' wives and husbands right now. Praying for those kids to grow up, praying for that little girl or boy to grow up in a godly family somewhere, love, love, loved. And I'm telling you what, man, I've been thanking God for the noble women that my boys married ever since. But that means that everybody in our family is traveling over the holidays. And I know many of you are worshiping with us this weekend because you traveled from somewhere else to be here in Savannah. And we're so glad you're here for Christmas in Miami Beach. What about this weather, huh? Man. Others in our Savannah and Compassion Christian family are not with us this weekend because they are traveling somewhere. Hopefully all that travel is going to be safe and comfortable. We're praying that it will be because we know it doesn't always work out that way. This summer, my Sarah's folks had a family reunion out in Montana. And so we were all going to go out for that. And I decided I would ride my motorcycle out. And that is a long ride. And I thought, well, since it's only like, 2,000 miles, let's make it longer. So I went up into Canada and then took a west and went to Medicine Hat and then came back down into Montana. And let me just tell you, that ride has been on my bucket list for a long time. And I checked it off this summer. Thank God it's over. It will never be on that list again. All right. I'm telling you what, once you've seen the first 1,000,000 acres of corn, it all starts to look the same up in Canada. All right. Once is enough. Thank God. I made that ride on July the 4th weekend. And I got a surprise when I went over the north side of Lake Superior. I was surprised to find out that it is 40 degrees in July on the north side of Lake Superior. And when it rains, it's rainy and cold, not just cold, but rainy and cold. And I had not prepared for that. Now, I've got motorcycle gear for that, but I didn't have it with me. My first day in Canada, it rained the whole day, 42 degrees, which feels like 32 degrees on a motorcycle. No internet where I was, no phone service most of the day. It was Canada Day week, which is like their version of 4th of July. So every hotel on the internet was booked up anyhow. And I was traveling. I just thought I'd stop in and find a room somewhere. And I stopped, and they said, sorry, we don't have any rooms. And I'd stop again. They said, sorry, we don't have any rooms. And I'm telling you, I rode until my teeth were chattering in the cold. Doesn't this sound like fun? It would have probably killed anybody else. But anyway, I'm telling you, I got really cold. And then I saw, now back up one picture, please. Is this the only picture we got? See that word right there? That's a beautiful sight right there. Vacancy, man. I pulled that motorcycle into that parking lot and I thought, oh, this is just going to be a beautiful thing. I walked into this first class hotel. Now, the next picture, you can tell you're in a nice hotel when you got the road crews barbecuing hot dogs out in front of the room on one side, right? That's where I was. And so, man, I looked around that place and I walked into the little reception area and I said, I got two questions. Number one, do you have a room? Yes. Number two, does it have a hot shower in there? Yes. I'll take it. And man, I didn't even ask how much it was, and it wasn't much, let me just tell you. But boy, when she gave me that room, I just thought, what a beautiful room. Because I'm telling you, when you're traveling and you think you'll just find a place, but you can't, that's not a good surprise. Now, I say all of that to say that the Christmas journey was a surprising journey. We all know that, man. Every Christmas we sing one of my favorite songs, Joy to the World, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. You know, Christmas is about a king being born in our world. But friends, if you read the Christmas story, it really doesn't sound like a royal welcome for a king. It really doesn't look in this story like royalty has been born. Friends, when God made the first Christmas journey, everything about that journey was surprising. And let me tell you, not all of those surprises were good. Joseph and Mary were from a despised town in northern Israel called Nazareth. There were only 300 people living in that town. It was about 300 acres in size. One of the few cities in Israel that didn't even have a sewage system. So the Lord Jesus grew up in a town around outhouses all the time. Then there was a 70-mile travel down to Bethlehem. And then there was a donkey, we hope, for Mary to ride on. But when they get there, there is no presidential suite waiting for them in Bethlehem. Did you hear about the guy came into a large hotel late one night and asked for a room, and he's just dead tired, and the clerk said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any rooms available." And the guy said, "Well, what if the President of the United States came in here at night, and he needed a room? What would you do?" He said, "Well, honestly, if the President of the United States came in, we'd find him a room." He said, "Well, I got good news. The President is in Berlin, so he is not going to be here tonight. I'll take his room." That didn't happen for Jesus. Jesus was literally born in a barn. You ever heard that sarcastic comment? "Well, aren't you born in a barn or something?" Jesus actually was. You know, we sing at Christmas time, "Away in a Manger." And it's a beautiful song about a charming environment. The cattle are lowing. The baby awakes. Beautiful. But that means there was a cow in the delivery room. Now think about that. That's stuff that cows make. That was in the nursery, all right? And I doubt when that baby was born that the child just dropped into the rough hands of a carpenter named Joseph. I mean, think about it. You know, Mary was a virgin when Jesus was born. She and Joseph had not even been intimate together yet. They had a bunch of kids after Jesus, but they had not been intimate with each other sexually at all when Jesus was born. And I'm sure this just added a sense of awkwardness about the fact that he's going to be there when that baby's born. And it added to the stress of the night. And you know, at our Christmas Eve services, which were amazing, we showed a video piece behind a beautiful song to launch that service that depicted how it might have been that night with Mary and Joseph. You know, and it shows some gracious lady from Bethlehem coming to help Mary give birth to this baby in the stable. And that seems likely to me. Joseph was there holding Mary, comforting Mary through the whole thing. We don't really know what the details are on the birth of Jesus. But friends, I'm telling you, everything about God's journey to us was unexpected. It was amazing. And you know, maybe the exclamation mark at the first birth announcement was that it went to shepherds. Now, if you had been a religious scholar back in the day, and you studied all the prophecies about the coming Messiah, it would have been unthinkable to you that that birth announcement would be made to shepherds. Shepherds were like the original hillbillies. Man, they lived out in the field most of the year. Life was just one long camp out for these guys. They looked like it. They smelled like it. I think the closest thing that we can come to thinking about how the Jewish people would have thought about shepherds is how European people think about gypsies. It's the same kind of, you know, differentiation. And friends, these are the guys who got the original, miraculous, angelic announcement that a Savior has been born. And the big question is why? Why in the world did the news go to shepherds? And I think the answer is in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. If you want to open your Bible to Luke chapter 2, we've read this over and over through the Christmas season. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Friends, notice that the birth of Jesus, you know, God's journey to us was not just for a select few. It was for all the people. It's for everybody. Not just for those who have great manners and are well-behaved. It's for all the people. Not just for those who have great marriages and thriving families and great careers. It's for all the people. Not just for those who have great credit scores and good grades in school. Christmas is for all the people. That first Christmas, God was making a life-changing announcement. My grace is for everybody. And friends, that means the Christmas message is amazingly inclusive. You know, at the first Christmas, God was making a statement. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how you look or where you're from, Christmas is for you. It's for everybody. It's for all the people. Now, sometimes there are, you know, products that we see on television that should be for all the people, but they're advertised like they're just for a few. You know, there's a marketing plan that targets certain people who apparently have more money than sense. For example, there's a water product, a bottled water product called Bling H2O. Did any of y'all get this for Christmas? Don't raise your hand if you did. All right. You know where this headquarters for this wonderful company is? Beverly Hills, California. It's water. That's all it is. It's water. And you'd think it's for all the people. But listen to the way they advertise this product. It's more than just a pretty taste. Bling H2O is pop culture in a bottle. CNN called it prestige in a bottle. It's not for everybody, they say, just for those with bling. Ordinary water is for ordinary people, but for those with a taste for the finer things, Bling H2O may be the perfect thirst quencher. Now, friends, a bottle of Bling H2O starts at $40 and goes all the way up to $70 for water. If my grandfather heard I bought something like this, he would rise from the dead and kill me. You know what I'm saying? Now, if this is a temptation for you, I would suggest that you watch the Netflix documentary on the bottled water industry called Tapped. If you haven't seen that documentary yet, just watch it and hopefully it will talk you down off the, you know, designer water ledge. But if that doesn't do it for you, They're advertising free domestic ground shipping in time for the holidays. So if you just got to have it, it's available. Here's another product that you would think would be for everybody. Toilet paper. Toilet paper should be for everybody, right? I mean, everybody. But this is Black Renova toilet paper. Now, friends, this is different. Listen to that. Listen to how they advertise this. Elegant, sophisticated, rebellious, alternative, eternally fashionable. Black toilet paper isn't for everyone, but it is synonymous with sophistication and style. Why waste your time with so last season two-ply white when you can treat your cellulite-free gem tone bottom to black? You know what this sells for? $15. 7 pounds sterling in England, a roll. Friends, this is literally flushing your money down the toilet. Amen? I mean, literally. All right, now listen, toilet paper should be for everybody. This company says, no, 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 no. Our product is just for a select few. And you know what? That's how our ego likes it. Our egos like exclusive access, special perks, select status. But you know, when God came to earth as a baby, his message was crystal clear. In a crazy, exclusivistic, status-worshipping world like ours, Christmas is for everybody. He said, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Friends, Christmas is for the rich, wise, magi who came from the other side of the world with lavish, expensive gifts. And Christmas was for the simple, humble shepherds who lived on the hillside right outside of town and had almost nothing to give. Friends, Christmas is for everybody. And that first Christmas, God was making a revolutionary statement about his own heart. He said, look, I will leave the highest throne in heaven outside of the world that I created, and I will come down to the lowest manger in a stable in what was back then a backwoods country so that you will know how deep and wide and long and strong my love is for you. I will go any distance. I will make any sacrifice, endure any pain in order to show my love for you, because Christmas is for everybody. It's for all the people. It's for you who are young and you who are old. It's for those of you who have a PhD and those of you who are hoping to get your GED. It's for people who live off an unemployment check and people who live off of trust funds. It's for people who are single wishing they were married right now. And it's for married people who maybe wishing they were single right now, all right? It's for people who go to work in business suits and high heels. And for people who walk around in sweatpants and t-shirts all day. It's for people who love rock music and country music and rap music. It's for people who are black and white and Asian and Latino and Jewish and Arabic. It's for atheists and agnostics and Buddhists and Baptists and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Pentecostals and Muslims and Hindus and Roman Catholics. Listen, man, the Christmas message is revolutionary in that it is for everybody. God's love is for everybody. It's for the orphans that we are reaching out to in the back country of India and Africa and China. It's for the motel room kids on Highway 17 right here in Savannah that our church gave Christmas gifts to this year. It's for people who are seeking help with habits and hurts and hangups that celebrate recovery every Friday night. Christmas is for cancer patients in hospitals and treatment centers. It's for the people who watch this service in prisons in Georgia and Florida who are going to spend another Christmas this year behind bars. Friends, Christmas is for all the people. Jesus said in Revelation 22, come, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. He said that because he was the one who came to that manger in Bethlehem, he wanted to make sure that everyone knew that Christmas is for everybody. Christmas is for anybody who wants it. My friends, the really good news is that the Christmas promise is a life-changing promise. You know, the Christmas is about two journeys, really. It's about God's journey to us, and it's about our journey to God. Now, when the announcement was made that a Savior had been born, the initial reaction of the shepherds was not joy. It was fear. And listen, that's how spiritual journeys usually begin. You find yourself in a situation that's awkward for you. Somebody invites you to come to church. Can I pick you up? No. I'll meet you there. If I've got to run out because they bring the snakes out of something, I want to have my own car. It's awkward. I mean, you just think if somebody invited you to a Buddhist temple. That's how your buddies at work feel when you invite them to Savannah Christian. It just seems awkward to them. And we got to understand that and help them with that. But you know what? Your spiritual journey begins when you embrace that awkwardness. And then you start asking questions about the answers that you've been throwing around all your life that have served you well all your life. And friends, when you start questioning your answers, I'm telling you, that can be terrifying. it was for the shepherds. Their initial encounter with God was terrifying. And who wouldn't be terrified? I mean, an angel suddenly shows up in the middle of the night telling you this revolutionary news. Then Luke says a choir of angels appear. And they weren't like the angels, you know, that we had, you know, at the best Christmas pageant ever, though these are beautiful angels. Amen. Especially our interpreter down here. You see your child up there, right? Okay, Jessica, I just want you to know. Your boy's looking at you right now. Friends, the angels that showed up on that hillside outside of Bethlehem were supernatural messengers from God. They looked a lot more like warriors than they did like little kids. And it doesn't even say in the text that they sang. I mean, maybe they did, but it just says they said loudly in a loud voice and Dolby surround sound, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom God is pleased. Friends, that is the most life-changing part of the Christmas story. It's not peace on earth to everybody. It's peace on earth to the people with whom God is pleased. Now, friends, Christmas is for everybody. But if you don't do anything about it, I mean, if you don't admit you need God, or if you reject God's peace plan for your life, I'm telling you, there's no other alternative for you. There is no plan B. It's just plan A. And, you know, one of the things that we have to appreciate about these shepherds is when they got over the initial shock and awe and fear of this angelic announcement, their first statement was, let's go check it out. Let's go see. Look at Luke 2:15. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Excuse me. Let's go see for ourselves. You know, the angel said there's a baby laying in a manger who's the savior of the world. That's pretty specific information. Shouldn't be hard to confirm that, see whether it's true or not. Let's go check it out. And friends, that's another thing that we learn from the Christmas story about our spiritual journey. You know, a life-changing relationship with Jesus generally starts with a season of exploration. You know, skeptics sometimes will say, come on, Cam, a virgin birth, really? God in human flesh, seriously? I mean, the Christmas story is a nice seasonal folklore, but I don't think I could ever believe that. And, you know, every time I get in a conversation with somebody who gives me that action, you start digging a little bit deeper with them, and you realize they've never really checked out anything. They've never done a sincere exploration of the Christmas story, of the claims of the Bible, to see whether it's plausible or not. I mean, have you ever checked it out? Have you ever asked your questions to somebody that you really respect who actually does believe it? Generally not. I mean, what faith they had got whacked by some college professor when they were a freshman. And they'd be amazed to know that that college professor probably got saved at our church 5 years later and is serving in our church right now. And that professor's biggest regret is blowing up the faith of all those freshmen back when they were teaching that crazy stuff. But here they are now, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years later, still mouthing those same skeptical excuses all those years later. But they never really looked hard at the evidence and just let the truth lead wherever it leads. Now, friends, you're not the kind of person who would just write off the Christmas story. I mean, just write off this whole message without drilling down a little bit. I mean, doing a little bit of exploration. You wouldn't just like, I mean, 2 billion people on this planet are betting their life on this story. You wouldn't just dismiss it without ever actually drilling down and checking it out. Because I'll tell you, the Bible says, if you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Friends, that's a promise that just like those shepherds, if we'll seek, we'll find. But that's going to have to begin with a season of exploration for you, where you open your heart and your mind to the truth, where you sit down with somebody who's, you know, prepared to talk about it and ask your hardest questions. You know, talk to people whose lives have been changed by God, not just people who hate the idea of God because deep down they don't want to be accountable to anybody. Now, friends, I'm sure that God is speaking to some of you right now, this Christmas, about starting your journey to him. And I don't want to freak you out, but I think that's why some of you are here right now. I don't think there's any accident that any of us are sitting in this room right now. God has been speaking to you in a dozen different ways through many different people. And for the 100th time in your life, he is reaching out again to you. And you may be thinking, well, Cam, if he's God, he's not communicating very well. I mean, I can't hear him. Why didn't he speak up? Well, that's a great question. Let's talk about that for a minute. Let me see, everybody raise your hand. Let me see the hands of everybody in this room who has a smartphone of any kind. Let me see the hands of everybody in this room who's got a smartphone of any kind. That's about 99% of the population of the world right there, all right? Now, I won't ask how many of you skeptics have already checked out that Bling H2O and toilet paper, but you know who you are, all right? How many of you have a smartphone with a social media app on it? Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, anything like that? Let me see your hands. All right, good. How many of you have a smartphone with text messaging capability? Let me see that. All right, good. How many of you have music or podcast on your smartphone? Let me see those hands. All right, good. How many of you can do email on your smartphone? Let me see that. All right, good. How many of you have a delete button so you can delete emails on your phone and you thank God for that, eh? Yeah? All right. How many of you have more than one television at your house? Raise your hand. More than one TV at your house. How many of you have a stereo system in your car? Let me see your hands. All right, now, how many of you are still wondering why you're having trouble hearing from God? I mean, come on, man. Jesus said, if a person has ears to hear, they will hear. I mean, sometimes I wonder if God is up in heaven thinking, can you hear me? I mean, can you hear me? Let me shake your world up a little bit. Maybe you'll open your ears. Listen, friends, when God spoke to these shepherds through an angel, you know, the word angel means messenger from God. Listen, they heard a message, but they did not come to a relationship with God until they started exploring that message, exploring those claims. They found Jesus. They found out who he was. And then they told everybody, and it started a chain reaction that has changed our world. Friends, I believe God is speaking to some of you right now. And let me tell you what I think the journey some of you need to take this Christmas is. I think that some of you right now are 18 inches from Christmas. I think some of you are 18 inches from experiencing Christmas in its fullest for the very first time. I think there are people sitting here right now who are 18 inches away from experiencing the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing, saving power of Jesus in your life. You're 18 inches away from experiencing a release from pain and regret about stuff you did in the past. You are 18 inches away from power and purpose and peace in the present and an indescribable destiny in the future. And you are 18 inches away from it right now. Friends, the last 18 inches of your journey to Christmas is going to be from right here to right here. From your head to your heart. From nodding assent to something in your mind that you think might be true, to embracing it as a deep life value and letting it become the lens through which you look at every bit of your life from this moment on. You know, the Bible says it is by grace that you're saved through faith. Say it with me, everybody. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. One more time, like lions. Here we go. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. Friends, faith is putting your whole trust in what Jesus did for you on the cross. Now, I want y'all to look at this stool for just a moment. You see this stool? How many of y'all believe this stool is here? Believe it exists? Let me see the hands there. All right, good. How many of you believe this stool is strong, that it would hold you up if you sat on it? How many? Well, friends, that's belief, but that's not faith. Faith is when you act on what you believe. Boy, I'm glad that didn't break. Because I've really been eating a lot this Christmas, I'll tell you, man. We're stress testing this thing right now. You know, faith is when you act on what you believe. It's when you put your whole weight on what you believe. Now, friends, faith is putting your whole trust in what Jesus did for you when he came to a stable in Bethlehem and then died on a cross outside of Jerusalem to pay for the sins that separate you from God. That journey of faith is going to begin with two powerful words that will change everything in your life. Now, you know, it's crazy how you can say two words that change everything in your life. In 1981, on August 22nd, I stood in front of all of my family and friends, and I said two words that absolutely changed my life. Can anybody guess what those two words are? I do. When I said I do, I did, and my life has never been the same, all right? Buddy, when you stand in the courtroom and you hear the words not guilty, that changes everything, right? If you haven't eaten anything today and the church is over and somebody says Cracker Barrel, that changes everything, right? Now, friends, if you want to experience the true meaning of Christmas, I mean, if you want to experience the love of the Father in heaven, you know, who sent his son Jesus into our world to live a sinless life and die for your sins on a cross and take the justice that you would have to pay for all your moral foul-ups. Friends, that same Jesus who was buried in a borrowed tomb and then rose from the dead, like we'll celebrate in just a few months at Easter. Man, if you want to know Jesus in a real way, you know, not some weak connection to a powerless religion, but having a life-changing relationship with Jesus, it's going to begin when you say two words. I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus is the only Savior of the world. I believe that I am a moral failure and that Jesus is the only one who can forgive my sins and make me right with God. I believe these things. So I'm going to put my whole weight on what Jesus did for me on the cross. And so the question that I just want to ask somebody here today is, are you there yet, man? Are you ready to say those two words? You ready to start your own journey to Christmas? Because you could. You could do it right now. You could do it right here. You could make Christmas of 2015 the Christmas you will always remember, because it was the time you started a life-changing relationship with God. And then every Christmas until the day you die and you celebrate your first Christmas in heaven, you'll remember the day that you said the two most important words you ever said. I believe that Jesus is God. I need the death he died for me on the cross. I pray that Jesus will become the leader and forgiver of my life. And I come today to give my life to you. Father, thank you. Thank you for this time you've given us to be together. Thank you for this opportunity to think, Lord, about some of the surprising things that happen at Christmas time. And Lord, I just pray that for some of us here today, you know, it's encouraging to us. We have believed this for so long and so strong, and we just love the Christmas season because it just reminds us, Lord, of how much you love us and how much you care and how far you went, and it just jacks us up, Lord, to think about that. But Father, for others here, they thought this was a fairy tale until just recently. They've never met anybody who thought it was actually true until they started coming here. And so, Lord, I pray for them that this will begin a time of exploration where they will ask hard questions and they will seek clear answers and they will open their heart, Lord, as if there was somebody in the world that could teach them something. And then, Lord, that you will teach them through your word and their lives will begin to change. Father, for those who are here today and they know they need to say those next two words, they need to put their faith in Jesus. They need to say out loud, I believe that Jesus is the only one who can save. And I believe I need to be saved. And I believe I will come now. I pray that they will come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.